really good, but it's not it for today. And then I came across one of my notebooks about praying in the last days. When Patsy Caminiti was here in 2014, and hallelujah, she'll be here this weekend. Now, Patsy is really dear to me because it makes me cry to think of it. Okay, in 1982 is when I met her. And every time I bring this up, it's like it just is today, you know, but at that time, our son was, he was born with a heart defect, and so we went to healing school. We lived in New Mexico, and we'd go to Tulsa to healing school, and that's where I met her and just fell in love with her. She was the healing school teacher. She and David Horton, and then Keith Moore was kind of like just getting started at that time. But anyway, just her presence. So I go way back with her, and I'd say she's probably one of the most influential people in my life as far as prayer goes. So what I want to do today, instead of me, you know, taking notes from what I was listening to and telling you, I thought it would be better if you were to hear her for yourself. So I cannot play, it's really long, so I just picked a place on my, it's on my phone, Brother Scott, I picked a place on my phone that will start, and she teaches a little bit, but the real theme of it is praying from a place of rest. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things that I've learned from her, and I don't always practice it, but concentrate more on the intake, on the breathing in, it's more than the breathing out, on drinking in, drinking, the drinking in part. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are thirsty, who are thirsty, and I'll give you to drink. And then out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So I want you to listen to this. It's the teaching part of it is maybe about 30 minutes or so. And then we'll go right into this drinking and see how the Lord leads us. So you want me to use this?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, you can figure it out. And then turn this one off. Okay, thank you. So let me see if this is a good spot. I'm just trying to find a place.
As a disciple, as one who is taught, the Lord has opened my ear and I've not been rebellious or turned backward. Now look at verse 6.
I'm not sure.
I gave my back. This is Jesus. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those who plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting.
Six.
That's amazing. And you think about when he humbled himself in this position, the disciples who had walked with him and had seen the life flow that came out of him, the power of that flow, people said this, we have never heard anyone speak with such authority. And remember after he stood on the bow of that boat and he shushed the wind and he spoke to the waves. Peace be still. And they said, what kind of guy is this? What kind of a human is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So what they saw was dominance and power. How Jesus lived was in a receptive mode to the Father, but what came out of him was power. That's what people saw. They saw that he never ran into a circumstance or a situation that was too big for him. Never, never. He never was stumped. He was never like, you know what, guys, I'll get back with you about that. It was never about that. So impressive. He just never, ever was defeated, ever. No one ever got the best of him, ever. ever in any conversation, in any circumstance. And when they were going to try to push him, he just either evaporated or somehow he just was not there anymore. Remember, they were going to push him off the bow of the hill, and it wasn't time for him. Besides, it wasn't on a cross. This wasn't going to work. So you can imagine then, when his disciples, after Jesus humbles himself down here, you can imagine what his disciples are thinking when he doesn't say anything. He just lets them start tearing the hair out of his face. It said that they plucked the hair off of his face, and they were spitting on him, and he wouldn't do anything. You can imagine what those guys were thinking. They were thinking, do something. You know? Say something. Blow. Do your arm. Do something, Jesus. Don't just stand there. Can you imagine? And he just took it. Do you know what's interesting is Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. What they were seeing was people abusing him. He wasn't submitting to the Roman soldiers. He was submitting to the will of God. So what he had been practiced in doing, he had seen from the Father, you know, either seen or heard him touching somebody or speaking a word or saying, stretch forth your hand, or he saw that, and so that's what came out of him. In this pose, he saw him taking it. It took humility. It just looked all wrong. But look what happens here. When you're ever in this position, look at verse 7. It says, for the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been ashamed. Now, if you could see this Bible, I've had this Bible since 1987, and somehow it just keeps sticking with me. But if you'd see this Bible, I have highlighted verse 4 and 5 because I really like that. Really like that. And I've got other verses of scripture, and I even have other color coding on verse 4 and 5. And then I skip verse 6 because that didn't really make sense. It's kind of like God put that in the wrong place. Do you guys ever do that in your Bibles? Like, I don't know what that's in there about. That's you know. And then verse 7, I really like that. I've got yellow around the whole verse. And I even have it also underlined. And I've added other verses of scripture because it's really good. Therefore, the Lord helps me. Therefore, I've not been ashamed or confounded. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint. And I know I will not be put to shame. That's a good word to confess. Isn't that a nice word to confess? It was just I had a problem with verse 6. The one that came before verse 7. It's interesting, isn't it? Now go back to Philippians 2. We're talking about praying in the last days. Guys, we can navigate whatever comes down the pike in these last days if we're getting our directives from heaven. Nations are going to do amazing things, different things, oh my, around us, in our own nation. All kinds of things are happening. But if we won't get distracted with our eyes and start sucking in and getting our directives from here and our inspiration from here, if we can do like the Master and like the first son modeled, and he lived like this in humility to the Father, we're going to be okay. Not all the prayer for the last day can take place this weekend. Do you understand? It's just true. We're going to be here for a little while, unless the Lord comes, and then glory be to Jesus forevermore. But we're going to be navigating some waters every day that we're here. And I'm telling you what, we're in for a ride. But we have the best guide. So here in Philippians, the second chapter, he just needs us to listen to him. Just listen. Philippians, the second chapter. Notice what it says again. After he appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself even further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Now watch what happens. Therefore, because he stooped so low and he humbled himself so low, look what God did. He highly exalted him. What seemed and what looked like weakness was the greatest receiving of the will of God. Remember in the garden when he was having to decide if he was going to come on down here? He was kneeling on this other plane right up here, and he was trying to decide if he wanted to do it or not because he knew what it meant. So he was kneeling here, and he said, not my will, but what? So when he received that will, what was the will? The will was that he have his beard torn out, you know, and he'd take the stripes on his back. That was the will of the Father. And he took those things for us. Aren't we thankful? I can't hardly say those things without us just stopping for 10 seconds. Let's just worship him. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's the deal. We're amazed at him. But in this verse of scripture, in this portion of scripture, he said, think like this. Well, so we can get caught up with just, oh, isn't he amazing? He said, no, this is the way sons do. If you want to work with the Father that unlooses the power from heaven, you think like this. Amazing. So even the authority of the believer that we have, we don't use it independently from him. It's a wonderful thing to find that you have authority. You start just commanding. But as you grow up in the Lord, like this full-grown son that Jesus modeled what full-grown looks like. Full-grown and mature means most dependent. Absolutely dependent upon the Father. So he modeled that. Jesus didn't use his authority independently from the Father. He said, I and the Father are what? We are a unit. We are one. We're one. That's pretty neat, isn't it? So it wasn't. When he was in that court, when he'd humbled himself here, and he had the authority to commission legions of angels, 12 legions of angels to come and, you know, just jerk some human slack. Put these people, these earthlings, in their place. And he had authority to do so. And they, you know, because this plan of redemption was between him and the Father. You know, heaven and the angels of heaven were like, and they don't move without commission. But you know, every angel in heaven was like, just give me the word. Just give me the word. Just tell me and I'm coming. You know. And he didn't. Listen, he did.
My mother's calling.
Say a word. because he didn't get that from his father. What he'd gotten from his father there was that he was to receive this. Amazing. But that kind of humility sets you up for extraordinary things. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he would what? Yeah. Yeah. He ain't going to humble you. Like does at times, but God doesn't humble you. But a son of God who is growing in the knowledge of what sonship looks like will humble himself. But what it does is position you then. It positions you. This is just a different way of faith. What was the last, one of the last things that Jesus said on the cross? What was the last thing he said on the cross? Yeah, you got it. Into your hand, I commit my spirit. Into your hand, do I commit my spirit. That's amazing faith. You know what? Because Jesus wasn't going to exercise any authority in hell, his own authority in hell. If he was going to come out of that grave, it wasn't going to be him that brought himself out. Do you know how much faith that took? That's a lot of faith. The greatest amount of faith and trust was exhibited in Jesus when he said, into your hand I commit my spirit. But now let's just look and see what happened as a result. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, I love that song. It makes me cry when I hear it. That song of David Ingalls. He acquired, I think he got it from, you know, writings of E.W. Kenyon. He acquired his name by inheritance, the only begotten of God. His name was bestowed upon him by our son, our Father God. I think that's it. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. Triumphing over them in it, he has given that name to me. Demons must tremble at the sound of that name. They still remember Jesus put them to shame. All hell will tremble, for they must obey, and heaven stands at attention when I mention that name. I love that. But what raised Jesus from the dead, what raised him from the dead and enabled him in the regions of the dead to do what he needed to do as a raised and a resurrected man, what resurrection power came into him, was by the glory of God the Father. The Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. That same life that comes from the throne, that same life that Jesus said in John the 7th chapter in verse 7, he said, if you're thirsty, you come to me and drink, and what you drink is literally Holy Spirit. That's what raised Jesus from the dead. You're drinking resurrection power. Paul, in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, one chapter over, when, you know, and he's quite old here and is towards the end of his life, before he goes, he has still one prayer, and he's still praying. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. I believe that it would honor God for sons of God to not be ignorant of resurrection power. And so going back to a prayer that we mentioned this morning from Ephesians, the first chapter in verse 19, it's the third of the three things that Paul prayed that the church would have their eyes enlightened to the first, the hope of their calling, the second, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the third, the greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We are not to be ignorant of resurrection power. Well, how can we become more familiar with it? Well, you can read a book about it, or you can look upon, you know, maybe some people who dispense power. But actually, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants you to have more proximity and tutoring and personal mentoring by him. He said, "You come to me and drink, and I'll teach you." He'll teach us. He said that in Matthew, the 11th chapter, in the 28th verse. He said, "All you who are weary and are heavy laden, you come to me, and I will give you rest." Well, rest then looks like, rest looks like inactivity. It looks like sleep. Oh, no. Not in our kingdom. Rest is explosive. Rest is scary for the kingdom of darkness. Rest is resurrection. It is a place where we see resurrection power. If you'll just look again, if you'll look to Acts, go here to Acts. The second chapter. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
I believe, because see, guys, in praying in the last days, we are a part of the body of Christ. We get to be a part of the body of Christ, where I truly believe that some of these things we get to actually handle. And not just one here and an amazing person there, and aren't they something? No, that undermines the work and the expansive work and availability of the work of the cross that is for every believer. Jesus said, "Anyone who is thirsty can come and drink." You don't just have to line up and get close to somebody and it's, ooh, they got power. You don't have to line up to somebody who has learned to come and drink from the Lord and come drink from rivers that come from somebody else, when Jesus himself has personally given you an invitation to drink directly from him so that rivers come out of you. You honor him. You honor him by coming directly to him. Amen. And I found this. I found this about coming directly to Jesus and drinking pure water. You drink what comes from him. You drink what comes to him. And it's the most humbling thing. It never makes you exalt yourself in the presence of other people. So you don't look like, "Oh, move over. I've got an edge on this." You never develop that. It's always, it's so clean. It's so pure. It's so minus and void of human ambition and human elbowing and getting out of the way and showing myself. You lose yourself in that identity. There's this deluge that come out of the throne of God swallows up your being, and you want it swallowed up. We were talking in the back today. What I like about this new covenant, New Testament experience is it absolutely, it gives us even advantage over Ezekiel's vision of the river that enabled, you know, the person, they came in ankle deep and then knee deep and then loin deep, and then there was waters to swim in. We do, we get that too. We get the river that we can get in. But Jesus introduced a new thought for believers. He said, the river will get in you. You'll get in the river, but the river will get in you. Hallelujah. Put your hands up and thank God, river.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Rivers, rivers. Now look what this says here in verse 23. This Jesus, when delivered up according to the definite and fixed purpose and settled plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and put out of the way by killing him by the hands of lawless and wicked men. But God raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or restrained by it. For David says in regard to him, I saw the Lord constantly. This is Jesus talking. I saw the Lord constantly. Jesus is talking. How often is he seeing the Father? Every Sunday? His morning devotions over a cup? No. I saw the Lord constantly. How Jesus lived his life was not with, you know, just a tormented distraction of people and frustrations around him. He absolutely lived glued with his eyes on Jesus, or on his Father. Now let's keep reading the verse. He said, I saw the Lord constantly before him, for he's at my right hand, that I might not be shaken or overthrown or cast down from my secure and happy state. And neither will we be cast down. Neither will we be insecure from the place that God has ordained for us to be when we have our eyes on the Lord. Look at this next one. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue exulted exceedingly. Moreover, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul, leaving it helpless in Hades, nor let your Holy One know decay and see destruction. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, diffusing my soul with joy with and in your presence. Do you know, I believe that what he's saying here was what came up out of his heart before he ever left the garden. And that verse 7 that I like so well from Isaiah, the 50th chapter, that I will set my face like flint, is exactly what he said before he ever got to the cross. He did that when he humbled in Gethsemane. He came into a place of rest. That's what humbling yourself under the hand of God does. It puts you at rest because you're not trying to fix it yourself. You're absolutely submitted to the will of God. Because you know his will is good. That's scary for people who don't know the will. You understand? Oh, what will he do if I say yes? What will he do? But when you know him and you know his will and you humble yourself under that, there is a resolve that when you are absolutely in this position of being the most vulnerable, it would seem, to other people, there's this other thing that happens in you that makes your face like flint. You can't know that strength except that you come by the way of receiving and being humble in his presence. There's a strength that you can crank yourself up on, and you can quote all kind of verse, and you can declare, and you can just grit your teeth and say it and say it and say it. But it will not even compare, and it will pale in comparison to the one who humbles themselves to the hand of God and comes to rest on the almighty rock of the person of God. There's just something from the person of God that gets in you that turns you into a flint. And it's not arrogance then. It's not just enthusiasm, you know, or just being excited and, ooh, you know, just happy. It's not that. But there is this strength from being a unit with him. And you can stare death in the face. Jesus did. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just worship him just a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us walk in your ways. Walk in them. Walk. Walk in these ways. Walk in these ways. Hallelujah. In the last days. We are to dispense resurrection power. Not just in the next dispensation. In this one. And because of the degree and the intensity of death that is working in this generation, there is nothing except pure life that can fix it. Pure life. And Jesus said, if you want it, you come to me and get it. Let me give you one verse of scripture. Hallelujah. If you'll go in your Bible to Revelation. Jesus is coming again. And there's some things that will honor him for the body of Christ to look like sons in the earth. In this dispensation, we will in the next, we give glory to God in all the ages to come. But there will never be another dispensation in the ones ahead where you and I will have the opportunity to receive healing for ourselves. Because we'll have glorified bodies and there won't be any need to be healed. If we're going to be healed, let's get on with it and get it now. Yes. Amen. If we're going to have whole marriages, it's going to be in this dispensation, because in the next we're neither married nor given in marriage. So we're just having one. Yeah. Having a happy marriage.
Yes. Absolutely.
Amen. Right. And family. Let's just put our hands up and receive God's purposes and plans for happy, happy marriages and families.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
whole bodies. If there's a time for us to be restored in our soul, if we're to reap the blessing that he was chastised for our peace, it will be in this dispensation. Because there'll be a time he wipes away every tear from every eye. But let us access and appropriate and experience what Jesus yielded himself to be chastised for our peace. I defy all of the brokenness that is on the human race right now to stand up in the face of the Redeemer and say, it is too much. There is too much brokenness that Christ cannot fix. It cannot be. His work is enough. It's enough. It's enough to put broken people back together. Let's thank him for that. It's enough to put broken people back together. Thank you, Jesus. Broken, confused people back together. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Revelation. Let's look at verse 22, or chapter 22 and verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life. We'll do it in the Amplified. Then he showed me the river whose waters give life. Actually, I don't like that one so well. The river is life. It doesn't just give life. You know, like water gives life to plants and stuff. This water actually is life. Okay? Like Jesus said, I am the way. I don't just give truth. He said, I am truth. I'm the personification of truth. And I don't just give life. He said, I am life. And when he was talking at Lazarus's tomb, he said, I am to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection. It doesn't, I don't just give resurrection. He said, I am resurrection. And I am life. So he said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne and of the Lamb. That's significant too. We won't take time to talk about it, but look at verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life. How?
Freely.
He doesn't put a tariff on this and say, you've been drinking here too long. Back up and let some other people have a go. No, he said, if anybody who wants to, anybody can drink as much as you want. But I guarantee you, ever how much you drink will determine what comes out of you. Yes. Guys, let's drink more. Let's drink more. He said, come and drink. Let's drink more. Now, practically speaking, what we did then, we did it a bit Sunday night. We did it a bit this morning, drinking. And by praying in other tongues, we talked about that praying in tongues is a way of not just praying out and dispensing prayers out. Praying in tongues, according to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Paul said, when I pray in another tongue, I do what to myself? I edify myself. So drink in. It's helping me. What did Smith Wigglesworth say? He'd say, before I go out, I pray in tongues and edify myself, and then I go out and I edify the people. So we're learning to be big receivers, bigger receivers. So waiting on our ministry is not just, you know, praying about everything that we can imagine that we could be dealing with, and praying about what, you know, what needs. Our eyes aren't on him. Our eyes are on the needs and whatever. That's not how Jesus modeled precise ministry. What he modeled in precise ministry is he looked to him. Isn't that neat? Glory to God. So, but praying in tongues is one way to drink in. Guys, Paul, I believe, was onto this. He was onto it. He was really into resurrection power. He really felt like a whole church, not just the leaders of the church. He prayed for the church in Ephesus that they all understand the power of God. And then not only did he pray that they would receive and understand the power, he said about praying in other tongues, he said, I do it more than you all. And so I've tried to do that sometime and just gotten exhausted from, you know, you know, cranking it out. You know, I've had that feeling of cranking it out. Oh, and then you just get yourself by the nape of the neck. Come on, you can do more than that. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, you know, pray in tongues. You just get on there and you just pray. And just be just absolutely tired. But there's a different kind of praying in tongues that you're not doing the work. All you're doing, the Lord told me, he said, where this is concerned, if you can just see yourself as a riverbed. How much work does a riverbed do? Well, it's pretty much in the name, river bed. It's really a place of rest. You're not cranking nothing. You're just receiving. You're receiving, but just as surely as you're receiving, something's going to come out. You're going to, because a riverbed will do that. It will receive, but it can't give unless it is receiving. Praise the name of the Lord. So Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. I believe he was onto something. I believe he was taking Jesus at his word. I believe he was taking Jesus at his invitation. Jesus said, I could come and drink freely. You're drinking Holy Ghost. Drinking Holy Ghost. That's one way to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Stay filled. That's what Brother Hagin was talking about it from that one vision. What Jesus was saying about the believers in the last day. He said, it is his will that believers stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how can you stay filled unless, drink big, drink big, drink big, drink big. So, but then today came a different kind of a demonstration then too, this morning. And that is from found in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Be filled with the Spirit. Talking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. You can drink yourself, or you can absolutely sing yourself full of songs that come this way. It's not like, I like that song. I'm going to sing that song. I really like that song. No, remember, you're drinking something that comes from heaven. And he'll inspire songs. He'll bring songs to memory that come from there. Drink them. You just sing them until you can't sing anymore because you're just so full. You're like, isn't that good? And you start changing words to old sacred hymns in fathomless pillows of love. That's good. Well, shall we just drink a little bit before we go home of Jesus? Guys, let me just tell you this. While we get busy drinking and we're just drinking, you have to know that areas of your life are being watered while you got your eyes on Jesus. Remember, Jesus kept the Lord constantly in front of him, his Father constantly in front of him. So he was always in a good state. But then there was all this life coming out from him. Expect that. There are things that have been stuck in your life that just needs a good... Hallelujah. Come back up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that a nice word? Hallelujah. It's a drinking word. Have you known?
There is a river, and it flows comes from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to the water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to the water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman. She was drawing from a well. You see, her life was ruined and wasted, and her soul was bound for hell. Oh, but then she met the master, and he told her about her sin. And he said, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord all my life. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord all my life. I will rest in the Lord. I will rest in the Lord. I will rest in the Lord all my life. I will rest In the Lord I will rest. In the Lord I will rest. In the Lord till I all my life. I will lay down in peace. I will lay me down in peace. I will lay me down in peace all my life. I will lay me down in peace. I will lay me down in peace. I will lay me down in peace all my life. I'm gonna walk and talk by faith. I am gonna walk and talk by faith. I'm gonna walk and talk by faith all my life. I'm gonna walk and talk by faith. I am gonna walk and talk by faith. I am gonna walk and talk by faith all my life. So I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord all my life. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I am gonna trust in the Lord all my life. I am gonna treat everybody right. I am gonna treat everybody right. I am gonna treat everybody right all my life. I am gonna treat everybody right. I am gonna treat everybody right. I am gonna treat everybody right all my life. So I will rest in his love. I will rest in his love. I will rest in his love all my life. I will rest in his love. I will rest in his love. I will rest in his love all my life. Ooh.
Drinking. are we okay? You know, there's different kinds of drinkers. You know, there's the kind that just sip the martinis, and they're social drinkers, and they want to look dignified. You know, they don't want to get their clothes dirty or anything like that. And then there's that other extreme that they don't care what anybody thinks, right? They're the kind that, you know, the next morning you're like, oh my God, what did I do last night? But we want to just keep drinking until you don't care what the people around you know what you sound like, right? Because it isn't a singing contest. But we want to keep on until we're just out, you know, full.
and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. And I know that it reaches to the highest mountain, and it to the lowest valley, as it does there. And the blood that gives me strength from day to day, from day to day, it will never, never, never lose its power. And I know to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, yeah, from day to day. For it reaches to the highest mountain,
yes,
and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose. It will never, never, never lose. No, it'll never, never, never lose.
Never,
it'll never,
never, never,
never,
never, never.
Oh, it will never, never, never lose its power.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Oh. Thank you for the blood. Ah, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Glory to God. Oh, thank you for the blood over this nation. Thank you for the blood over this nation. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood over this nation. Oh, thank you for the blood over this nation. Oh, ha, ha. Oh, ha. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is over this nation. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Over every embassy. Over every military base. The blood of Jesus. Oh, my soul. Yeah. Oh, the blood. Ah, thank you for the blood. Oh, thank you for the blood. Ah, there's power in the blood. Oh, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Woo! Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Thank you for the blood. Oh, the blood of of Jesus in our airways, the blood of Jesus in our waterways, the blood of Jesus on our borders, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood, oh, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood, oh, the blood, the blood, ah, we apply the blood, we sling the blood, ah, oh, braso, yeah, oh, bala brashoba, oh, bala, every military base, abaso, the blood of Jesus, oh, baso la brasho, oh, bala brashobole, oh, bala braselebre, oh, bala braselebre. Oh, the blood, oh, the blood, oh, the blood of Jesus. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, there's power in the blood. Oh, there's power in the blood. Ah, there's protection in the blood. There's healing in the blood. There's deliverance in the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, we make much of the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Oh, oh. Hallelujah. I just have to. There's a, ooh, on me, so I gotta get
it. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, that blood came dripping down. That blood came dripping down. That blood came dripping down for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. I know it was the blood for me. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there's power. Power, wonder-working power,
power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Singing glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, singing glory to His name, glory to His name, for whom my heart was the blood of mine, glory to His name, the cross at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Oh, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Oh, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, so there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. about you, but I have had fun. Now, we didn't, some other time we'll shondalize, you know, and work it, but this wasn't the day for that. All right, anybody praise else, God. Anything? Everybody, you have anything else? You could just go on and on, right? Hallelujah.
Our sounds from heaven.
Sounds from heaven, yes.
And those sounds were just penetrating and opening doors.
Yes.
And I heard her say open doors.
Yeah, I heard you praying that over there. I heard you declaring that. Praise God. All right. All right. Dismissed. Yes, ma'am.